It is Wednesday. This is one of our favorite days of the week because we have taken the dreaded Wednesday hump day and we turned it into Winning Wednesday. And so on today, we will be discussing cranial nerves. It's an NCLEX review. Hello, if it's your first time joining me, my name is Professor Regina, MSN-RN, and I'll be doing cranial nerves from Quick Facts. This is the book that I wrote. Actually wrote it several years ago to help nursing students learn a lot of the information that you have to study for your NCLEX exam in a really quick way. So I called it Quick Facts because it is just questions and answers, but it really helps you to not spend a lot of the time that you don't have trying to figure out what is important. Everything in this book is important, including the topic we'll be talking about today, which is cranial nerves. So what I wanted to do for this lecture is hit some of the highlights from the book and then also give you practice questions at the end to review the information that we've discussed here. Now, this is just a short part of a bigger study that you're required to do. Now, you only have to study it if you want to pass NCLEX. You don't want to pass NCLEX, then you can just watch. But if you're serious about passing NCLEX, you need to take out notes, you need to get your book out, and you need to study. This is a very big Wednesday. As you guys know, I'll be traveling to Asia for my NCLEX review in Manila. And so I am bringing to a new continent V2, which is my full NCLEX review program. I'll also be studying that program with you along the way. Those of you who signed up for it, hey, if you have not signed up for it, you can take a free trial, right? There is the full experience. But before you do that, because sometimes you don't know what you're going to get when you choose an NCLEX review, which is one of the reasons why I tell you, get into the free trial of my program. It's really easy to do. You can go to remarnurse.com/free, and it's there. So in the free trial, remember, you are able to watch my lecture videos. You are able to practice case studies, do some questions. All of those things are there for you in the free trial. And even when I go in there myself, I'm surprised at how much there is to do in the free trial. So we're going to just push through this Wednesday. We have a short amount of time together, but we can really make a difference studying cranial nerves. Again, this comes from Quick Facts page. Let me see. Cranial nerves. Give me the page, guys. Help me out today. Cranial nerves comes from page 28. And so what I did in Quick Facts is I have the list of cranial nerves because you do want to be familiar with the term, but you also want to be familiar with what that nerve controls and also the dysfunctions. So the assessments of the cranial nerves are important for your NCLEX exam. So there is a few that I have here that you definitely want to know: accessory, olfactory, facial, vagus. Okay. And then I'm going to tell you more about the ones here as well. So we have, okay. Oh, really quickly. Also, again, these are the subjects that are in V2 in terms of lecture content, because again, with the program, I think we have to put the majority of the work that is done in the beginning stages, which is literally going through your workbook and filling out those topics. So I have my workbook somewhere, but I'm in the midst of still packing up. But these are the subjects that you will be visiting during my NCLEX prep program. You have things like pain management, okay? Substance abuse. Substance abuse is really important because you ought to know that if a person is on a stimulant, how they will present, if they're on a depressant, what type of illegal substances are depressants. Even some legal substances are depressants, such as alcohol. IV fluids. You know, you have to do some clinical math. It's not that much, but it is there. Laboratory values. These are, again, subjects that you don't necessarily come across in a question bank that will prepare you fully. But if you take the time and do the subject preparation first, then you can answer the questions. So I did highlight some of the topics that I take you through in my NCLEX review program. Even if you don't have my program, please make sure that you are studying these specific subjects because they are large subject areas for the NCLEX exam. All right. Okay, cranial nerves, let's get into it. The cranial nerve system is actually part of the peripheral nervous system. And with the peripheral nervous system, remember there's a distinction between the central and peripheral. So with the peripheral nervous system, we are expecting to be studying sensory and motor nerves, okay, together. They're going to have functions to move your body. And a lot of these functions are autonomic functions, okay? Now, these are terms that I do expect you to know. What is a sensory nerve? What is a motor nerve? What is an autonomic process as we are going over this neurology review? And again, these are part of a routine neurological assessment. Your NCLEX exam is a general exam. It's not a specific exam. So that means that any nurse, no matter what unit she works on, no matter what school she has gone to, should have this information presented. Okay. And particularly if you've been at a school for a long time, this is the type of overview that you should be willing to do before your exam. So a nurse must know and understand the 12 cranial nerves in determining neurological symptoms. So in determining presentations that your patient comes into the hospital with, the cranial nerves can absolutely be involved. Now, the peripheral nervous system has, again, sensory functions, motor functions, and some that are even considered mixed. So there are some sensory and some motor components. Let me tell you the cranial nerves pairs that are sensory, motor, and then those that are mixed. Our sensory cranial nerves are 1, 2, 5, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. And we'll go over the names here in a minute. And you can see you have just about as many motor function nerves as in 3, 4, 7, have 11, and you have 12. The mixed cranial nerve pairs are 5. Okay. So you have 5 again here. You have 6, 7, you have 9, you have 10, and you have 11. And so when we talk about the spinal nerves, there are 31 pair. These are comprised of both sensory and motor nerve fibers. And what they do is they transmit signals related to movement or sensation. Now, our autonomic processes are those that we don't control. Those are the involuntary movements that are replicated whether you're aware of them or not. And we're really grateful for those because we don't have to think about the most important things that our body has to take action on. So let's review the cranial nerve, the name, the number, and the function. The first cranial nerve is olfactory. And that is responsible for your smell. The second cranial nerve is your optic nerve, and this is going to help produce vision. Ocular motor is cranial nerve number 3, and this is important for what? The ocular motor. What is it going to be doing? It kind of says it in the name. It is going to be responsible for your eye movement, your pupil reaction, as well as your eyelid opening, closing. The trochlear nerve is also responsible for your eye movement. This is number four, cranial nerve. This is going to help move the eye up and down. Well, trigeminal nerve is number five, and it is important for your facial sensation. Sometimes this gets confused with the facial nerve, which is number seven, but trigeminal is also involved in how your face feels and also mastication, which means what? What is mastication? It is the clinical term. It is the anatomical term for chewing your food. Abducens is cranial nerve number six. This is responsible for your eye movement outward. Seven, I referenced it. Check this out. Facial nerve. Facial nerve is one of those nerves that gets asked about a lot on your NCLEX exam. It is responsible for your facial expressions, but also the facial nerve innervates the tongue as well. So being able to taste is a part of your healthy facial nerve. Also, sensations of the ear as well. Vestibular cochlear nerve. This is cranial nerve number eight. This nerve is responsible for hearing and your very important balance. Very important balance. Okay. Cranial nerve number nine. Remember this one. This is glossopharyngeal nerve. Glossopharyngeal is very important clinically because if your patient has an alteration to this specific nerve, cranial nerve number nine, they will have issues with their what? With their airway. Okay. So swallowing, big for NCLEX because it's ABC. Swallowing, salivation, as well as tongue and ear sensations. The vagus nerve is very important to cranial nerve number 10 because it is going to be related to your patient's heart rate. Depending on the activity that they're doing, depending on if they're at rest, it is an autonomic function, your heart rate. However, the vagus nerve it can be affected. It can be influenced by other activities. Okay. Vagus nerve is also responsible for your digestion and your respiration, your pharynx and your larynx muscles. The accessory muscles, cranial nerve number 11, are responsible for your head and shoulder movement. And then cranial nerve number 12, hypoglossal nerve. Again, this one is responsible for your tongue function in terms of speech and swallowing. Wow. So we do have a lot of information here that you need to review and be aware of. All right, so take your time, do your due diligence. It's in QuickFacts as well. Our nursing priorities for your NCLEX, because there is a lot that you need to know. I want you to really prioritize learning the cranial nerves that are going to be affected if you have a serious dysfunction, or they will severely inhibit your client's activity of daily living. And so those are going to be your optic nerve. Check this out. Optic, ocular motor, your trigeminal, facial, glossopharyngeal, and vagus nerves. Those are going to be the big ones because they're going to indicate a vision, a safety issue, or you have your airway breathing circulation. So those are two big things. Another is if you need to determine as a nurse your patient's ability for a referral or a further evaluation. And that's something that you're going to be able to see in an abnormal neurological presentation. So if your patient has signs of trauma or injury, a sign of infection, signs of mass or lesion, or signs of cancer. Here we go, right into the questions on today. This is going to be a good quick review of the cranial nerve. So, how will you guys do with this one? A female client with a history of hypertension, reports an intermittent throbbing pain on the side of her face, okay? The right side of her face, I should say. She reports she is unable to chew properly with altered sense of cheeks and scalp. Which cranial nerve is likely affected? Which cranial nerve is likely affected? Number one, facial. Two, abducens. Three, trigeminal. Four, vagus nerve. What saith you, Remar? Nurses, we see the assessment finding here. Unable to chew properly with altered sensation of cheeks and scalp. What are you going to say here? Out of the four choices presented, oh, I hope you get this right. These are the little nuances that you have to know. The correct answer here is trigeminal. So the trigeminal nerve has multiple branches. And so this nerve affects chewing movements and sensations of the face, scalp, and teeth. Okay. Next question is question number two. It says this: the nurse is preparing to test a client's cranial nerve function, particularly cranial nerve number two. Okay. Now, which of the following assessment techniques is helpful in assessing cranial nerve number two? Is it going to be, think about cranial nerve number two. Number one, ask the client to smile. Two, ask the client to stick the tongue out. Three, ask the client to yawn or say, ah. Or four, ask the client to count the examiner's fingers that are held up from a distance. So if you're trying to assess cranial nerve number two, which one is going to be best? And so this is where the memorization has to come in, not in terms of names, but in terms of functions. What is it that you're supposed to be evaluating? So I see the answers on the screen. The correct answer is number four. Number four. So cranial nerve number two, or the optic nerve, is used to test the visual acuity or peripheral vision of your patient. So if you ask the patient from a distance to count the fingers that you're holding up, this will assess cranial nerve number two. Did you get that one right? Did you get that one right? All right, let's do another question here. Question number three says this. All right, this is rapid fire. You either know these kind of thing, either know them or you don't know them. You need to go back and study them. So question number three says this: a client acquired paralysis of cranial nerve number seven following an elective surgery. Which of the following interventions should the nurse prioritize in the plan of care? Okay, cranial nerve number seven. Number one, provide eye protection. Two, administer pain relief. Three, provide a cold compress over the affected area. Or four, facilitate range of motion exercises for the neck, range of motion exercises for the neck. So, what do you say here? And again, not that these are wrong. These are probably all right, right? They could all be right, but what should you prioritize? That means the most important. And so, we have to get into these distinctions here. So, the correct answer in this event is going to be number what? What's the most important thing? The most important thing is number one, providing eye protection. Okay. And so the cranial nerve number seven or facial nerve paralysis, it can affect your client's ability to fully close their eye, okay, which can lead to corneal abrasions. Cranial nerve number seven is very important. You see it when NCLEX talks about Bell's palsy. And so providing protection for the eye is really important. So therefore, when we talk about eye protection, it's lubricating the eye, it's applying an eye patch during sleeping at night. These are the priority nursing interventions to prevent corneal damage, and promote eye health. Okay. All right, let's try number four here. I'm going to keep going. I thought I was only going to do three questions, but we're in a groove. We're doing okay. We're okay with time. So let's just try this one here. The nurse monitors a client with dysfunction of cranial nerve number 9. Okay, I got used to reading Roman numerals. Cranial nerve number 9. Which of the following nursing interventions is appropriate for clients with cranial nerve 9 dysfunction? Number 1, administer oxygen therapy. 2, encourage small frequent feedings. 3, provide thickened liquids. Or 4, administer muscle relaxant. So we're talking about cranial nerve number 9, and if there's a dysfunction, I went over this one. So if you came late, this one might be challenging, but this is one of those definite indications of knowing the cranial nerves for safety. If NCLEX is safety, this is a huge safety question. So correct answer is 3, provide thickened liquids. Yes. Clients with cranial nerve number 9 dysfunction can manifest an inability to cough forcefully and have difficulty with swallowing. So providing thickened liquids will reduce aspiration by slowing down the transit of fluids and facilitating safer swallowing. Great, great job, great job. If you got the one right, that's a big safety consideration. So pay attention to this one, cranial nerve number 9. And let's do the final question here. We have a 25-year-old male client reports intermittent dizziness, difficulty reading, and eye strain. He has a history of congenital nystagmus and amblyopia. The nurse observes horizontal jerk nystagmus. Which intervention should the nurse prioritize in the plan of care? Okay, what's the priority? 1, refer to a neurologist. 2, advise new eyeglasses. 3, reduce eye strain. 4, vestibular rehabilitation therapy. Here we are looking for the care. Number 1, that you have to kind of ask yourself, what is the nurse's scope of practice? What is the priority? So there are some things that sound great on NCLEX, but you have no business or no ability to do them for the patient. So what can you do that's reasonable and makes sense? And that is going to be, for looking at this, that is going to be number 3. Okay. Reducing eye strain, helping the client to do that. Clients with nystagmus are prone to eye fatigue or eye strain, which can lead to dizziness. So it's important to help the client reduce eye strain, such as providing proper lighting, frequent eye breaks, and using large print or digital display settings. Referral to a neurologist is not indicated since the client's nystagmus is innate, all right, congenital. Options 2 and 4 are not indicated for nystagmus. And so here, our cranial nerve review was, oh, and how did you do, by the way? Did you do 3 out of 5? 3 out of 5 is kind of my baseline. If you've reviewed a little portion of the content, but you need to go back and study, that's okay too. But if you got like a 1 out of 5, then you need to be in this book and you need to review the core names and functions of the cranial nerves. You'll feel a lot better about it. However, for the purposes of today's review, it was for you to sit down and just spend some time with the information that will be presented on your board exam. And for a lot of us, that's difficult to do. And so we make specific time on Mondays and Wednesdays to discipline ourselves, because at the end of the day, the exam is coming, your test exam is coming, and everything that you do on a consistent basis is going to make you a stronger nurse. A stronger test taker is great, but ultimately being a great nurse is the goal. And so even in my own travels, you guys know this is a busy week for us together. We have to still make time to do important things like this, because this gets us ultimately to our goal of being proficient. And no matter how many times you have seen something, it's good to review it, because if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So it can take you 30 days to prepare for NCLEX, or it can take you 30 months. It'll look differently, but the information is there. There's just as much to study in 30 days as there is in 30 months. So let's continue to be consistent. I will see you guys soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to come to our study session. All right. I will be praying for you. Be praying for me as I continue to get well, as I make it to my final stop, the Philippines. I am excited. I'll be actually, there's a testing center in South Korea. So we are going to stop in South Korea. Number one NCLEX instructor on the planet is going to visit all of these testing centers. I want to be able to say with confidence that I am meeting the people that I'm serving, and I'm not just, sitting in a place and saying, oh, I'm for international nurses. I help international nurses, but you never come in contact with them, you don't hang out with them, you don't see them, you don't know them. I'm not, that's not me. That's definitely not me. Other people may do that, but I'm about to be in your homes and coming to your churches and just hanging out with you guys, because you are our family, and you are this company. There's no Remar without Remar nurses. So I will see you guys soon. Thank you so much for studying with me, and I will see you later. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Never been to Asia before, but I'm coming. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.